This is the AngloGold Ashanti Sustainability Podcast Series. Let's talk now to Caroline Rees. Caroline is Program Director, Corporate Social Responsibility Initiative, Harvard Kennedy School. Caroline, you've been involved with the United Nations Initiative on Human Rights and Business since the mandate to Professor John Ruggie was first awarded. Why, in your opinion, was it considered such an important area for the UN to address, and what did it hope to achieve through this work?
Yes, it's an issue that hit the United Nations agenda, as it were, really in 2003-2004 as a result of some work that had been done by an expert body and put to the then Commission on Human Rights. And I think what that work showed was that on the one hand, this was an issue whose time had come, and on the other hand, it was potentially quite controversial. The 1990s already had seen a growing number of allegations, high-profile allegations about serious human rights abuses in retail companies' supply chains related to communities around oil and gas or mining companies. And so really the attention on the role the companies play in this space was growing, and the need to understand better what the relative roles of government and companies were was a pressing one. The particular initiative at the time was controversial because it essentially conflated the roles of government and business. It made propositions about what international law currently said that were highly contested. And so whatever its merits, it polarized the debate rather than building consensus. And I think that was the key in 2005 when the Council asked the UN Secretary General, then Kofi Annan, to appoint someone to take forward this agenda. The focus was on saying, look, this is an important issue. It is one that the UN needs to address. But if we're actually to make progress in practice, we need a common vocabulary. We need a common understanding of what the current state of the world is, and separately to that, what the state of the world should be, so that we can frame this together and actually achieve progress. That was, I think, what was important about the moment in 2005, and what's been important about what John Ruggie has been doing since then, precisely to put in place that kind of a common framework, common vocabulary, and broadly shared understanding of what the roles and responsibilities of business and government respectively are.
Well, tell us now, if you can, what the key achievements have been since 2005, if you would.
Well, I think firstly, and particularly in the first 3 years of work, it grounded this debate back in the evidence. And John really went back to first principles on this. He mapped out what was happening in hard law terms, in treaty terms, in soft law terms, in terms of what companies were saying, in terms of what the different arguments were at the time around the issues, and took us back into the evidence so that he could sort of build up the bricks, as it were, the foundations from which everybody could move forward. He also took an approach that he called principled pragmatism, which I think has served this process extremely well. Principled in the sense that right at the core of this from the start is the improved enjoyment and realization of human rights. Those are the founding principles around which all of this has to revolve. Pragmatic in the sense of being focused on what actually works on the ground. And so he's also worked through a process of broad consultation involving business, government, civil society all around the world, 47 consultations held over the five plus years. And he's road tested ideas as he's gone. So a number of companies have worked with us to put in place mechanisms to handle grievances that meet a set of principles John has articulated. Companies have tried out the human rights due diligence concept internally and in practice to see how it works. And indeed, what John has produced as a result at the end of this period, which is a set of guiding principles on business and human rights, reflects then that practical aspect as well as the principle of advancing human rights. And I think the other key thing that we're seeing in terms of achievement is that as a result of that and all of that work and stakeholder consultation and road testing, there is already, and even before the Human Rights Council has taken up the guiding principles, we're already seeing an awful lot of uptake amongst other organizations at the national level by governments, in the advocacy work of civil society, and in the work of companies that are already taking the elements of human rights due diligence and grievance handling that John has articulated and working out how to integrate them into their own systems. So already we're seeing that this is creating the basis for step change globally in how all actors understand what needs to be done to advance business and human rights.
Government, business and communities are inextricably linked, of course, but what is the different role from a business point of view and a government point of view when respecting human rights, Caroline?
Fundamental to this and to the human rights arena is that governments have an array of duties under the treaties that they adopt. They are to respect human rights, which means that they and their agents must not infringe on human rights, to protect human rights, which goes to what they need in place in terms of regulation, policies, and other means to ensure that third parties are not infringing on human rights, and then to fulfill human rights, which positively to advance their realization in practice. So respect, protect, and fulfill is the sort of triptych of what governments have to do under their human rights obligations. Now, the role of business is more specific. In terms of what all businesses in all situations need to be doing, what John Ruggie has articulated is the respect role. Respect human rights being the idea that as you go about your business, as you do what you legitimately do as a profit-making organization, avoid infringing on the human rights of individuals. And where such infringements occur, address that as you go, so remediate as you go. So that's quite a specific area. Now, companies do, and particularly large companies and mining companies not least, do more than that. They will often get into the area of social investment for very good reasons and important reasons and go beyond simply making sure they don't infringe on human rights and that they remediate where infringements occur. But that, in a way, is to be encouraged. It's not something that every business everywhere has to do or is capable of doing. Every business everywhere has to respect human rights. So it sets that very clear expectation, but also some parameters that business can work within as to what is legitimately expected of them in everything that they do.
Caroline, thanks so much for that. That's Caroline Rees, Program Director, Corporate Social Responsibility Initiative at Harvard Kennedy School.